Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, Brahma Ramadama, or the great green lizard. But until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex. And sex is what we talk about here on the Dr. Susan Block Show. Sex, love, life, and rubber. Tonight, our guest is the beautiful, the shiny, the maybe kind of sweaty underneath that beautiful, elegant outfit. Rubber Necro, we're so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, you've been here a few times. You're a friend of the speakeasy. You're practically a member of the family.
Thank you.
You know, you started coming here, I think your first time was the Bondage Gala?
No, it was actually the last year's Eros Day was the first time I came here.
Right. Yeah. You are right. Last year's Eros Day, Orgy for Obama. Absolutely. And you have a copy,
yes.
Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm. Orgy for Obama. That's true. You came with the professor.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you were wearing very little that night. I remember. Just basically a G-string.
Mm-hmm.
And that amazing sexy corpse on your back. It's a tattoo. It's not just a corpse on her back. It's a tattoo on her back.
Exactly.
But it's such a sexy corpse.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're all about sexy corpses, aren't you? Rubber Necro.
Mm-hmm.
Sex, love, life, and death.
Exactly.
So you came to Eros Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just couldn't get enough of us.
Of course. First time I came, I loved it. I had so much fun.
Oh,
it was the best.
Yeah, and you were so hot, and we had so much fun with you. Who is this girl? And we couldn't really get your name, you know, because it is an unusual name. How did you come up with that name?
Well, of course, rubber, because I'm the love of rubber.
Love rubber.
Yeah, and
got a fetish for rubber?
I have a fetish, a huge fetish for rubbers. Like, I've had it ever since I was 16 years old, so yeah, so I got rubber because of my fetish of rubber, and then when it came to necro, I mean, I want to become a forensic pathologist, you know, besides being the mod and all this stuff, I've always, I'm starting to becoming a forensic pathologist, and for some reason, just the word necrophilia popped up.
Yes, of course. Well, I don't know how many forensic pathologists are
necrophilia. Oh, no, but it's nothing like that.
Maybe a lot, actually. actually, now that you think of it, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, what entices someone into that profession? I would think a love of some aspect of death. You're studying
death. Love and respect for death.
Yeah, respect, of course. Of course, you're not going to love something you don't respect. You gotta
exactly.
How could you not respect death? Whoever doesn't respect death must die young.
I just had some vodka, so I'm going to go.
Oh, right. You know. Okay.
So she said something about getting a rubber fetish when she was young.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm really go back always to the interested. Rubber, get yeah. away from the death.
No, that's all right. death is great, you know.
Yeah. But let's go back to the rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
At a young age, what happened?
Well, I was actually sneaking into my parents' room, and I accidentally found a porn video, and it was about bondage and latex.
Right.
And of course, I was curious, and I put the DVD on, and I started watching all this, the porn, and it was all about latex and bondage, and
right
then and there, I just loved it, you know.
And how old were you?
16.
16.
Wow, great.
Okay.
Yeah.
At 16, you realized you loved rubber, and you got it from mom and dad. That's very wholesome in a way.
No, that's great.
I mean, 16, you found mom and dad's porn, which was latex. Did you ever tell them that?
No, I never told them.
Well, now you have.
Yes, you were.
I mean, have you ever announced that publicly, that that's where you got your rubber fetish?
Yeah, I have.
Well,
but
they don't study
the people that I told them, they don't really are friends with my parents. You know?
Right, right. But do your parents follow your career?
No, they kind of don't know what I do.
Oh, they don't know what
you do. My mom does, not my dad.
Okay.
The dads are always a problem.
Exactly.
Mr. Necro.
Mr. Necro doesn't know.
Mr. Necro.
But Miss.
Your daughter is beautiful. And you should just love her. And she picked it up from you, Mr.
She
Necro.
She found your video.
She found your video, you and your wife. Mr. and Mrs. Necro, who gave birth to Rubber Necro through lots of rubber sex. Anyway.
I always think of B.F. Goodrich or something.
Tires.
Tires.
Right.
You know, kids used to swing on tires.
You know, there's a lot of things rubber, you know, is used for. I mean, they call condoms rubbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that real rubber or is that latex, the outfit you're wearing?
This one is latex.
See, rubber is loosely used. It's a term that is applied to various materials.
Mm-hmm.
And genuine rubber isn't used so much anymore, is it?
There is, but not so many people use
it. It's not as form-fitting.
Mm-hmm.
It's more stiff.
It's more
stiff.
Thicker.
Thick. Yeah.
Thick. Also has a smell.
Mm-hmm. And a smell, right.
Like rubber.
Mm-hmm. The
rubber
latex
tires and stuff.
Is a kind of fashion rubber.
Right. Oh, yes.
That's what. But latex Necro just doesn't sound the same. It's just not as
so
kind of
16,
intense.
16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And what was your first rubber thing that you got into?
The first rubber thing.
Besides the video.
I was actually 19 years old, and I was speaking to a friend on MySpace, and he was doing photo shoots, you know. He was starting up his website and all, and I told him I was really intrigued in his latex, and I loved his photos. And he told me, oh, well, you know, I would like to shoot you. So I went to his house, and that was my first time ever, you know, shooting anything with rubber. I mean, I always...
Or doing anything with rubber.
Mm-hmm, and doing anything
because
with...
Because it's interesting you come up with a shoot as the first thing,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is true. You didn't do anything with rubber on your own.
Well, I mean, besides using condoms, you know, like...
Well, yeah, okay, using condoms. But I mean, really getting into the fetishistic, sensuous aspects of rubber.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do that until a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of people, mostly women, I think, pick up their sexual interests from modeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Betty Page kind of did that in a way.
Exactly.
You know, although she was kind of hot before she started modeling, but she got even hotter.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace. Betty Necro Page. Anyway, we love Betty Page. We had her on the show in 1996. She was
really?
On this show.
She did the first interview after 40 years.
Absolutely. She was not in the studio. She was on the phone, but it was her. We had her manager in studio and her lawyer and her publicist and, you know, everybody was there. And she was on some phone.
Right.
She didn't want to show herself because she wanted people to think of her as she was when she was a model.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I guess there were some pictures taken of her.
Very few. Mm. But she was supposed to be on for 10 minutes, and she was on like for 2 hours.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, so, yeah, people get addicted to us, you know, in a way. So you came back, and then you did the Bondage Gala.
Yeah, it was a
bondage. That was when you were in the red corset.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a picture of you in that in my Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You look so hot.
Red hot. I remember seeing the post on your website, and I was like, oh, look, that's me on the main picture.
Yes. And that was the night that the professor was electrocuting you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you call it electrocuting, but it looked like that.
Yeah, with the violet wand and the TENS unit. Yeah.
The violet wand is one thing, but yeah, that what is it called?
The pads were the TENS units.
The pads.
Units.
Uh-huh. Yes, that looked like you were getting an electrocardiogram. How do you feel about that? Is that something
you love when it comes to electricity? I love it.
Yeah.
I love latex, you know, and when you put electricity in latex, you can't really feel anything.
How did you get an electricity fetish?
It was actually...
Did
I was
you stick
doing
your fingers in...
No.
Electricity is very basic,
yeah,
you know. When I was... One of the first words I ever said as
friends.
A little kid was electricity.
Yeah.
And that was the name of my imaginary friend.
Really?
Electricity, yes. She was like Tinkerbell, except electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about you and electricity.
When I first started getting into it, I was doing a shoot when I had gotten offered, you know, to model more often.
Yeah.
And we were doing...
Again, a shoot.
Yeah, it's...
You pick up your sexual interest from shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And do you apply it to your sex life?
Of course I do.
But do
now
ever,
I do.
Now you do. Now you have, okay.
Yeah.
So you got into the electrical thing at a shoot.
I was doing a shoot with the company I work for, which is Dynasty Trade Media, and they told me, have you ever done any electricity play? And I'm like, no, I've never tried it. At first I was scared, you know, because it was the first time trying it. But they started putting the pads on. They put it on my butt and my thighs and on my boobs. And at first I was scared because I'm like, what's going to happen? You know, I don't want to...
Yeah.
I don't want to have a heart attack or something. I was just being paranoid.
Right. No,
and then
you associate that stuff.
Yeah, and I was
in a
gyno table because we were doing a medical shoot. And all of a sudden they start, you know, doing electricity. They started putting the voltage higher and higher. And I'm like, I can't feel anything. They're like... Are you sure you can't feel anything? I'm like, yeah, it just tickles. It feels really good.
Mm.
Like, are you sure? So they put the voltage to, like, the maximum voltage. And all of a sudden, I had an orgasm.
Wow. Bionic rubber necro. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're so exotic. I don't know. Can you handle, like, a caller who has, like, a regular sort of sex problem or question? His name is Clint.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from New York, and he wants to know, what does a girl think when a man can't get it up when he is drunk? I think we should drink to that. How's your drink?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Let's see what we can do here.
Wait, let me get this agua facing.
Hold on a second.
I can't breathe.
Hold on a second. Go ahead, talk to him.
Okay, Clint.
Oh, it's finally good.
Clint, are you there? Clint, speak up a little bit. So you find yourself mostly having sex when you're drunk?
Yeah, a lot of times.
I can hardly hear you, baby.
Try.
Pull it up.
Wait. Go ahead.
Okay.
Talk to him.
So tell me about your drinking sex habits.
Like it happens, you know, a lot. I mean, I could get a lot of opportunities, you know.
You get a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. It's just I'm not, you know, just too drunk where I can't, you know.
You get most of these opportunities in a bar or at a party.
Yeah.
Huh. You don't get opportunities like in, you know, day-to-day life, work, you know, going to the park, going to the beach, I don't know, going to the rubber convention.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Yeah.
Why don't you just not drink so much when you go to the bar? Why don't you drink like half of whatever you're drinking, and then you won't get so drunk you can't get it up? I mean, what do we think when a guy can't get it up when he's drunk? I mean, we forgive him once, maybe. What do you feel, Rubber?
I usually try my best until he gets up, and usually it does.
It does. With Rubber Necro, she just keeps going until it gets up. I'm not that patient. I'll just, you know, make you go down on me until I come, and then I'll fall asleep. Your tough luck. So, you know, it's okay for one night, right? And Rubber Necro will work hard at it. But how many nights do you want to work that hard, huh?
That's true.
You know? Yeah. I mean, hopefully you can get away with it the first date, either, you know, with either me or Rubber Necro, either of our techniques.
Well, but it's better than coming for the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, but not getting it up.
Well, you know, it takes time when you're drunk to get it up.
That's
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not and for then, you.
No, but for other human men.
Human men. Bionic Max. No, it takes a lot for you. I don't know how he does it, but they should study him. You should put some of those electrodes on you and figure out how you do it. Cayenne pepper. You gotta eat a lot of cayenne pepper before you go out drinking.
Yeah.
Okay? It thins the blood, so it'll travel up that shaft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, other than that, like when I'm sober, I'm
when you're sober, you're good. So you know, you meet them the first night. You know, they're either like Rubber Necro and they work hard and they get a Rubber Necro neck ache, or they're like me and I just, you know, say okay, you know, forget you, go down on me, I'll have fun. See you in the morning. And then in the morning, you can do the woman, you know? How about the morning?
Yeah.
You just have to be charming and giving and fun and just not make a big deal about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Either way. What do you think, Rub?
Yeah, I just think they just wait till the morning.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't have to wait for her. You wait for yourself.
Well, you also have to see what type of woman, you know, you're dealing with.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A horny one if she's going home with him, you know, I guess. And maybe she's drunk, too. Maybe you can just get her really drunk so she just falls asleep. No, don't do that. That could be alcohol poisoning or something.
Yeah, but I mean, it don't happen every time. I'm just saying when it does, that's when it sucks. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah, but that's the whole problem is don't go, it sucks. You know, you're kind of like making a bad thing worse. You just try to make the best of it.
Sounds like you're having a lot of sex, so, you know, the fuck's up, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, less worry about that.
Yeah, less worry about that, and more worry about,
the morning.
Pleasure.
Doing it in the morning. You know, and in the meantime, even if you can't get it up, there are other things you can do. You have your fingers, you have your tongue. Or just kind of buy her a rubber outfit, and she'll be happy, right? If she's Rubber Necro. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, you know what to do now?
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Let us know what happens, baby. Okay, so back to Rubber Necro. By the way, I should give out our number, though. If you're in North America, it's 1-866-289-7068, and we're talking about sex, love, life, and rubber with Rubber Necro. Just all kinds of fun. And if you're anywhere outside of North America, you can call the regular number. Actually, anybody can call the regular number, and that's 213-670-0066. And talk loud. you know, because we're...
And we also have a magic jack number now, but I... Yeah,
we have a magic jack
number? Yeah, but I don't have it here in front of me, so...
Oh, okay.
Fuck it.
Turn down your radio, yeah. That's essential. Yeah,
turn down your radio, you know.
So, so the professor, you came with the professor the second time to the bondage gala.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And how'd you meet him? Modeling?
No.
No.
Actually, professor, right. I had met him at a club.
You know, he travels through these clubs trawling for hot chicks like you.
No,
and
I
he
had
admits
a
to that, yeah.
The thing is that it was...
And he doesn't get drunk. See, he drinks Diet Coke.
Yeah, he
that's
doesn't
what he
drink
does. He doesn't get drunk at all.
But, I mean, I had met him through a friend at a club. You know, he was with one of my friends. They were dating at the time. And she introduced me to him, and he was awesome right off the bat. He seemed like a really nice person. And ever since then, we became really good friends, you know. And I met him way before he became a dom. He was into the BDSM. And way before I started getting more into the rubber. I mean, I had barely started to doing the rubber modeling, but I wasn't that 100% hardcore into it.
Did you ever sit in on any of his classes and
sociology? No. I met a lot of his students.
Yeah.
But I've never...
You met his students?
Yeah, I've met a couple of his students.
Wow. And does he have students that participate with him in the fetish stuff?
No, he has a lot of his students come to Club Hell, you know. I guess it's
as a sociology project.
Exactly, as a project. And he has all his students come to Club Hell, and that's where I met a couple of his students. You know, most of the times when they will come, I'll be dressed in full rubber with the rubber hood and all that stuff, and they'll be like, wow, I just love the way you look and love your hood and you're full in latex. You smell so good, you know.
Mm.
And yeah, that's how I've been with Professor. And ever since, we've had an awesome relationship, you know.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Now, did you come to our other the bondage launch, the launch of Broken Door?
No, I didn't.
You missed that one.
Yeah, I missed that one.
And, but then you were here again on the radio with the professor and Subby Sam.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And a bunch of Mormons that were here as other guests. But we talked a lot about Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're Catholic, right?
I'm Catholic. Mm-hmm.
Do you consider yourself still a Catholic? Or
Yeah. I'm always
a Catholic.
Always
it goes with the rubber and certainly with the necrophilia. I mean, if there is any religion, speaking of the sirens here, I don't know if everybody else can hear that, but somebody's dying somewhere.
Heart attack.
Yeah, heart attack or something. Hopefully they'll be saved. But we cannot all be saved. I mean, in fact, we all must die. Except, you know, Jesus. Of course, there's this beautiful, just passionate worship of him on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Did you grew up with that?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you feel about that?
I mean, I don't really follow it as much as I used to. When I was younger, my parents made me follow the whole Roman Catholic, because I'm Roman Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Everything that had to deal with it. And I mean, I have a lot of respect for it. I have nothing bad to say about religion, you know, so I have nothing but respect for it.
I got a few things to say.
But I just don't.
I wonder if religion has anything bad to say about you.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they do, but oh well.
But, you know, you kind of do the taekwondo. You just say, I'm not going to say anything bad about you. If you want to make a fool of yourself saying bad shit about me, well, that's up to you.
Exactly.
You know, and that's cool. That's very cool. But we say bad things about religion sometimes.
I don't say anything bad about religion.
I do.
Well, no. Then we just tell their history.
Well, you know, inquisitions. And
inquisitions and that kind of stuff.
Crusades.
Yeah.
And, you know, religion is behind a lot of wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Including some of the ones that are being fought right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think religion is behind a lot of violence.
About 138 wars around the world right now in conflicts.
And we all must die, no doubt. But do we have to kill each other? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we have to kill each other?
It all depends, you know, the crime, I guess. I don't know. I just have a different point of view. It's just it all depends on the crime of the person, you know, has done the wrong. I mean, if you have, like, you know, raped kids, you know, you've done a really horrible, bad thing. I mean, this is my
The thing is, if you have a lot of the assets of the world and people try to get them from you, then you got to kill them. That's all. It's not
That's
a problem.
That's the American way. It is. So you grew up in...
Like, you want to take my shit? I'm going to kill you.
Did you grow up with much death? Like, people killing each other?
Yeah, I actually did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I thought
I
so.
I was growing up in East LA, Huntington Park. Yeah. I mean, I come from a Latin family and all that stuff, so.
Latin?
Yeah. And,
Hot
of course.
Hot-blooded. Under yeah, that cool
so of course.
Rubber.
That's why I'm always sweating.
Sweaty underneath, right.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I have seen a lot of things happen in front of me, you know. But I guess when it comes to each Latin people, you kind of just see it, then forget it. You know, it's just a thing. I guess we see so much of it, we kind of just see it as, okay, oh wow, that person just died, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's... pretty much like
but
that.
But you mean was killed?
Yeah. Killed or died, you know, because it's like both things. You know, we have family members that can't really, you know, get treated here in the U.S., you know, healthcare or anything, so they're pretty much like dying in our homes. And
well, that's true. But we passed a healthcare bill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a step.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are tea partiers that, of course, would like to kill the people that passed the bill. They would. There's been all kinds of death threatenings, right? The Tea Party people are really...
It's so funny. I was talking to a tech support guy...
Pretty crazed.
...in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Yeah.
...today, and he was like
a
going...
A tech support guy.
Yeah, tech support guy. And he was going like, wow, I understand you guys passed a universal health care bill.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, right.
Where is he?
In Nova Scotia.
Oh.
Yeah, he says, oh, we've
They've had
it
for years.
We've had it for years.
Yeah.
He says, what's up with you guys? You don't want health care?
No, I think everybody wants health care. It's just some people don't want some people to have health care.
Exactly.
Because they want them to die.
Our friend Sarah.
Sarah Palin. Yeah. Right, I guess. Yeah. She's like
the
head of the Tea Party.
Tea Partiers.
Pretty much.
No, she's not that. Well, she's like the philosophical head, you know.
Because you can't pronounce that
but
other guy's name.
We have to behead her.
Behead her.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Speaking
this
of
is,
death.
This is a dangerous right-wing, you know, soccer mom.
Do you know her daughter's baby daddy posed for Playgirl?
They're like a bunch of, you know, forget it. You know, Sarah, forget it. Go home. Go to Alaska.
They're moose.
Yeah, go fuck the moose. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, she's out to fuck us all.
No, she ain't really fucking me.
So you grew up near here, and yet you're a mystery. Your family doesn't know about your rubber. Well, I mean. What you think they'd be upset?
Well, it's not like most of my, a lot of my cousins and not aunts and uncles, but you know, like a lot of my cousins know about what I do, and they're fine with it. I mean, they're very intrigued of the rubber and all that. Yeah. I actually started getting one of my cousins into the rubber.
Really?
Because she started seeing pictures of it, and she's like, I just love that. It just looks so hot. And I'm like, well. Why don't you come to my house? You know, I can let you put some rubber on. So she came to my house and, you know, I let her, you know, borrow a dress. And she's like, I just love the way it smells. And I was like, yes, I just got one of my cousins into it.
Yes, see, you're a missionary.
That's a great revolution.
Rubber missionary.
We are also missionaries.
No, I've gotten a couple of my friends, too, into rubber, which I'm really glad I have.
Now, I don't have rubber. I didn't have rubber to wear, but I have this big rubber whip. I think this is real rubber.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? This is real rubber. This is the stiff kind.
Yeah, it is.
It feels very good.
I like it.
I think it's very sensuous.
So it can be all shiny.
Yeah, it's very sensuous. So you want to feel it on that the rear part of your outfit?
Sure.
I mean, the rear part of your body. Okay. This is, all right, let's see. I don't want to get all tangled up here, and I don't have much room. Okay, I think I have to back up. This is a big whip. And that's a beautiful ass. I have
Thank
a
you.
Great view here of Rubber Necro's rear. And it's all buckled up in latex. Oh, I got your back.
Okay.
In more ways than one. I'm going to back up again. See, this is such a big thing, and I got Jux Lee behind me. Okay, here we go. There, how's that feel?
Good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Uh-huh.
That's very light. That one was a light one. Do you like pain as well as all the other
of
stuff?
Of course I do.
You do, right. Mm-hmm. The professor is certainly into giving pain, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not going to hurt very much because it's a big rubber whip. Does it hurt?
No.
No? It's just like a nice breeze.
It's like a massage.
Like a massage, right. And you know what feels really good when you go and you let it kind of...
Like
just fall down like a cascade.
Mm-hmm. Just like hugs your whole body.
Whoops. Missed. There. Nice sound.
Nice
Rubber
sound.
Makes a nice sound, nice doesn't sound. It? Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful. All right. Well, now, you know, you have a redder rear. It does make it a little red, but it's not painful. Yes, Prince Max.
Oh, no, go
You're
ahead.
Going, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. We have to be sensitive to each other. You're in a relationship, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you have a boyfriend? Do you live together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually live together. We're in an open relationship.
You're in an open relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
What does that mean for you?
Well, to me, it means, I mean, we love each other very much. And whenever we have, you know, the craving to have romantic sex with other people, we have sex with other people, you know, and we have no problem with it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have relationships with other people, but we know deep in our hearts that we love each other and, you know, always be with each other.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And does being with other people enhance your sex life?
Oh, it totally does.
So you don't get bored with each other.
Exactly.
Because
we learn new things. And, you know, every person has a different technique, different things, like love and all this stuff. We learn from it.
Yeah,
know?
It's not just about technique, though, right? It's about emotion. Stirring the soup. Otherwise, the soup gets cold.
That's exactly. Why I have 10 women.
Right. He's got a harem.
We got a harem somewhere.
In this boot, baby.
In the booty. I got 10 women down there.
Yeah.
Right in those boots, I got just there. I got 10 women. Then I got 10 women up at the top in the hands. Ah, it's delicious. For
yes,
a nice Catholic boy who turned
boy
Jewish.
Foot fetish.
Hey, I'm doing good.
Ay. So then you came to Eros Day.
Mm-hmm.
Which was our first event here at the new speakeasy. What do you think?
Oh, my God, I love it. I think I love this one. I guess because I was more involved in this one, I had so much fun.
Well, you weren't on anyone's leash.
No, I wasn't.
You know, the other times you've been here, I guess, or at the other place,
mm-hmm.
you were the professor's girl,
mm-hmm.
pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun, I guess. It's very special, but mm-hmm. I guess you don't do whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
I mean, what if you want to do something that he doesn't want to do? Then what happens?
I get punished.
Which is okay.
But yeah, exactly. It's okay. I have no problem with it, but I submit and just stay with just one person and have fun, you know, and play and submit to just one person at the time when I'm there with my sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were at Eros Day, you were like slave gone wild. I mean, you were wild. You know, you were taking dildos and stuffing them up different people's pussies and asses, and you were licking, and I don't know. You were just doing a lot of activity, wild. So there were a lot of people doing that. You weren't the mm-hmm. only one by any means. There was like this wild kind of mood. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the agua or the Eros gamma rays from the planetoid Eros.
Rubber leads to sex.
Oh, of course.
That's what happens.
Rubber does lead to sex, but rubber, not everyone was wearing rubber that night.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just driving a car and the smell of it.
The rubber to the road.
And peeling and doing all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, spinning around in the neighborhood.
Okay, we have Frank and... Oh, they're here.
They're in-house guests, yes.
They're our in-house guests.
And they are extraordinary.
Okay.
Historians, actually, of the movement of all of this that we've been talking about.
Frank and Betty.
So we're going to take a real quick break here, and then we're going to have Betty and Frank.
Okay.
So hold on.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
I'm back at Radio Susie One in the soul of downtown LA. And I just gave Rubber Necro her glass of agua, but she has to lick the lime salt off of some particle of skin. So here we go. Ooh, yeah. Yummy. Oh, yes. That feels delicious. You lick very nicely. You have a rubbery tongue. Definitely a rubbery tongue. Now take your drink. And... welcome back, Rubber Necro, to Radio Susie One. And I have a couple of other guests that have joined me in studio that I'm just meeting tonight for the first time. Frank and Betty.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Radio Susie One.
Well, happy to be here.
Nice to have you. So, how's it going?
Absolutely.
Splendid.
Now, I haven't talked to you hardly at all.
No.
But I heard that you came here through Facebook?
Yes.
Facebook. See, Facebook is where it's at. I've been doing more Facebooking than Twittering lately. I don't know what that means. It's just a little more, I don't know, like involved. Anyway, tell me about yourselves.
Well, we're here because we'd seen you over the years on, you know, different media, Playboy with et cetera, or HBO with Real Sex, and, you know, some of the other things that you'd done, different snippets on these different programs.
Oh,
so we knew
okay.
who you were, and we'd, I guess, seen you, you know, somewhere in press and different things. And so so it popped up on Facebook this morning. You posted.
Uh-huh.
And when it did, we said, hey, we're not doing anything tonight. Why don't we do something interesting?
Oh, right.
So
this is our new program of just inviting people to come down to the speakeasy to kind of be in the audience. But you might get pulled onto the microphone as well. You never know.
Yeah, the thing is, I was sitting there talking to Frank and Betty, and they have their own religion.
Your own religion.
Yes.
Oh, well, we were talking about religion.
Yeah,
but you started out with
Catholics.
Oh, yes, but we're fully recovered.
Ah, okay.
So, but we won't say anything, but we're fully recovered.
Right, but you did start with Catholicism.
Yes,
so
but then we searched the world.
Got something in common here.
Yeah, there were 14,000 religions listed in the world as of today. We couldn't find one that really fit us.
Ah.
So we decided to create our own, and we're 8-day hedonism because 7 days aren't enough.
8-day hedonist. Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I call myself an ethical hedonist, but you know, it's more of a philosophy than a religion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not sure what my religion. I kind of like a mishmash of religions, and then I hate all religions, but I love religion. I have a love-hate relationship with religion.
Well, it's about the ceremony.
I do enjoy ceremonies, you know, and mostly the ones that I did in my childhood. You know, so those are Jewish a lot. But I like Catholic ceremonies.
Yeah.
And I like some Islamic ceremonies, actually. But it's kind of scary.
I haven't seen too many of those.
I guess I've seen them mainly on, like, the internet. There's just these rituals with the Quran. And I'm not going to really start... promoting Islamic rituals at the moment. But back to eighth-day hedonists. I mean, this is an official religion?
Well, it's our official religion.
Okay.
But to make it ceremonial, we have, you know, immersion ceremonies in the hot tub, so we got our ceremony to get started.
Do you have other people in the religion?
Well, we've offered it to anybody.
Invited.
Right, well, everyone's invited, but do you have, like...
No, we're unofficially fun.
Okay. I see. Well, cheers to your religion.
Cheers.
And you're not drinking alcohol?
No
alcohol. Okay.
Yeah.
So we won't offer you agua. Yeah. But you know, that sounds like a pretty interesting religion. I mean, do you have a Bible? Do you have prayers or anything? No, none of that stuff.
No.
Just an idea. Okay.
Yeah. Go with the flow.
Do you have a symbol? Like the cross is a symbol of Catholicism. Now look at this cross, speaking of...
Oh, that's unique.
This is rubber.
Very unique.
This is, in case you're not watching on webcam and you're just listening on radio, this is a Jesus jackhammer dildo.
Wow.
Jesus jackhammer, and it's Jesus with basically a dick on the end. And it's... I'm trying to remember the name of the company that makes this... But anyway, it's most ingenious because, of course, a cross is a phallic symbol, isn't it? A cross looks like a dick to me. I mean, you know, the short part of it is kind of like the area where the balls should be, and then the long part of it is the dick. And this Jesus jackhammer dildo just pretty tells it like it is.
What's that?
And it's a good shape. It's a good size. What do you think
nice
of this size?
Handle.
I love it.
Yeah? Would you like to look at it, pass it around? Yeah.
It's silicone. So
it's like silicone. Do you like silicone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a kind of rubber.
It's a
more modern rubber. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Much more better.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You got to do more
tell.
Posing with it, right? Or is
quiet
that really sacrilegious?
Quiet down. Quiet down.
Oh, it's outside. You can't quiet down the people outside. They're cheering. Did we win some sort of a game?
Seems like
Wow, they're coming out of Sam's.
Boy, tonight it's just crazy.
It's either
sirens or people yelling and screaming. Right, so there's Jesus. I mean, is that...
Where'd you get this? I love it.
You know, I got a Jesus jackhammer dildo. Just look it up on the web. In fact, maybe somebody could look it up on that... on one of the little laptops out there and remind me of the name of the company that makes it. It's some kind of religious name that's very clever and too clever for me to remember. You know, just like those Muslim sex rituals that I can't remember. But it's
Divine Interventions.
Thank you, Bran. All right, wow. Divine intervention.
I'm
see,
get myself one.
It's like a little penetration thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I love it.
Isn't it nice?
And I also love because it's silicone and it's very nice.
Well made, you know, and Jesus is well outlined there.
So see, little you're blessed all the time.
This is a real rubber necro thing. It is. Isn't it?
Exactly. What,
now, I mean, can I get you to like pose with it or something?
Of course.
Yeah, pose. But don't hold the bottom. Oh, yeah, pose with your tongue on the bottom. There you go. Oh, yeah. Take Jesus in. Jesus is in her now. No, don't laugh too much. Okay,
no,
you guys suck. Don't laugh.
This is serious.
Jesus is in, Sister Rubber Necro. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
back to Frank and Betty. You keep sucking with
keep sucking Jesus.
Keep sucking Jesus.
Okay. Well,
Frank
this is
Betty.
A very, you know, the
how
Pope
long you been together, Frank and Betty?
12 years.
Yeah. About
wow.
12.
Okay.
That's nice.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So now, are you guys? You have an open relationship, or you have an understanding of some sort?
Well, we got together as a BDSM couple.
A BDSM couple.
Yes.
And then we expanded and, you know, kind of moved into the swing community too. So we kind of, you know, at the crossroads of both.
And we're well-rounded.
And so what kind of BDSM are you into? Are you into rubber?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you're wearing rubber.
Hey.
Wow, okay. You know, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. And so you met at a BDSM club?
Well, actually, a mistress introduced us.
A mistress.
That was a friend of mine.
Really? Can we say who she is? Mistress who?
Mistress Sherry.
Mistress Sherry. Don't know her.
Yeah, right. Well, she was pretty much lifestyle, not commercial. So.
Yeah.
And we got together, and we've been on a blind date, actually. We were supposed
you
to get together.
You went on a blind date?
Supposed to get together for dinner, and she was going to get a submissive, and she introduced me to Master Tony, Master Frank, and we just went.
And that was 12 years ago?
That was 12 years ago.
Really?
And
uh-huh.
He came down. She couldn't go to dinner. And
and what were you doing at the time?
At the time, I was submissive. However, I'm a switch. And I've since also topped, so I've done both.
And what do you like to do when you top?
When I top?
Yeah, what's your favorite thing? Is it like whipping or electrocuting people?
I love my violet wand.
You
yes.
love your violet wand.
I love my violet wand.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, one time I was in the dungeon, it was so much fun, I had this little thing where you can put it on your waist and your fingers become electric.
Really?
And so you can touch people.
Yeah, the grounding pad. Mm-hmm. You ground it on your body, then you're totally mm-hmm. electric.
Your fingers are totally electric. And
neat.
I had been doing it, and this one time I mistakenly put on a corset that had metal stays.
Uh-oh.
So here's Mistress in there with submissive, and she's supposed to be all cool. And I go in there, and I put this on my waist, forgetting about the metal stays, and every time I touch the submissive, it's coming back on me. And I have to be all proper and act like nothing's happening to me because I'm the mistress. Mm. And so that was really fun.
Yeah, I bet. And you are dominant?
Yes.
You're dominant, right. Mm-hmm. Totally dominant.
Totally
dominant. You don't switch.
No.
You always dominate. Have you ever tried?
No.
No.
I've experienced sensation to understand what I was giving, so,
right.
You know, so therefore I would be better at it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's how, so like, for example, I will, you know, test certain things
right.
so I can understand the sensation, so I can calibrate it properly, you know, when
right.
using. Yeah.
Uh-huh. The but, scientific approach,
yeah.
right.
One of the funnier things that happened with a violet wand, we mm-hmm. were at a party.
Yeah.
And Betty was restrained on a bondage table, and she was in a stock, head out, arms out.
Yeah.
And I was using the grounding pad and, you know, massaging her with electricity. And our friend came up and decided that her mouth was not in use, so it would be the perfect place. So as I am massaging, he's approaching. And what did you see from your nose?
Well, his cock comes around to the front of me.
Yeah.
And Master touches me. The arc comes off my nose and hits directly on the tip of his cock. And totally, it goes from straight to totally away.
Oh, my God. The arc, really meaning funny.
the arc of the electricity.
Of the electricity.
Yeah, she could see the spark.
So you kind of electrocuted his cock.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
It was really funny.
Have you ever electrocuted a cock before, Robert?
No, I haven't. I mean, I've been electrocuted on my clitoris, and I get orgasms because of that. But
yeah.
I mean, I have a huge fetish for electricity, so that's, of course.
Do you get orgasms from electricity, Betty?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I love it.
Orgasms from having your clit electrified?
I just get an electric bill. I got to find out how to do this.
Of course, the wand is battery operated. Right.
No, no.
No?
It's a TENS unit. The TENS unit. Oh.
It's AC, so you know.
It's AC. Did you bring one?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Next time.
Next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, wow. You know, another time, another Violet Wand story, though. Before Lair de Sade was using their new building that they moved into in, you know, in like 2000 or thereabouts, they used to go at a place called Knob Hill Club. Over in Van Nuys. Okay?
Oh,
and
I used to live on Knob Hill in San Francisco.
Okay, yeah. So they were over there. So one time,
this is Knob Hill Club.
Betty was, you know, properly restrained, and I was using the grounding pad, but with a Mylar whip, metal electricity, and flogging her with a metal electric flogger. Except I stepped too close and I grounded myself on a metal post that was supporting where she was restrained, and I shocked the hell out of myself.
Wow.
Serves you right.
You know, sometimes it comes back at you.
Sometimes, yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't have electrical stuff, but we do have this great cage that came with the new speakeasy. Mm-hmm. This cage here.
There's two of them.
Yeah,
we have them around each elevator,
and we figure they're great because you can come up through the elevator, but you can't necessarily get in unless we let you. And it's also, you know, kind of a good bondage thing.
Great place for photo shoots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could talk. Do you like bondage? You like to be tied up?
Mm-hmm. She does.
Betty, you like to be tied up?
Yeah, sometimes, yes.
You're not so into being tied up?
It's okay. I like self-restraint.
Self-restraint?
Mm-hmm.
You like to restrain yourself?
No, no, I command her to be restrained.
If I'm holding on and I'm told not to let go, I don't.
Right. Well, you could do that with this.
Absolutely.
You could do that with the cage. You could grab the cage and your master could tell you not to let go. But you don't like to be really in bondage. You get a little nervous from that?
No, it's just, to me it takes a lot of time to really properly be tied up.
So you can't get away.
Yeah,
it takes a very long time.
Yeah. Do you like that? Bondage?
I love it. I love bondage.
Serious
bondage. Bondage and rubber. Makes a good combination.
So how did you guys, what happened somewhere, how did you get into this? The revolutionary point, the starting
point. Evolutionary.
Yeah, evolutionary.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, how about you?
I was into it.
Nice Catholic kids, right?
Well, I think that's where it starts.
Right. Oh, that's
I really think that's where
you,
it starts.
Tell us about
did you
that.
Receive corporal punishment as a kid?
Only from nuns.
Well, okay, but you did.
Yeah, and
you
got
it from
over
nuns.
Over the knuckles.
Over the knuckles, right.
Over the knuckles. Jesus, that can hurt.
Yes, it did.
Mm.
But I was, the first time I saw the story of O, I was there.
Mesmerized. Yeah.
Absolutely there.
Right. And when was that?
18, I guess.
Oh, okay. 18. That's a good age for awakening. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that you were submissive or that you wanted to enter this world of of kind of the darker sexual arts?
Right, but I didn't do it because I was still pretty much drinking the Kool-Aid at that time.
Ah.
I was too good a girl.
Good girl. And did you get married in a kind of a standard way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and you had kids?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and you were a good wife.
And then I said, life is too short, and uh-huh. I just couldn't stay in there.
Wow, okay. So you kind of like said goodbye to the traditional life?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Wow.
All right. And how about you, Brother Frank?
You know, it's interesting how, you know, your journey. I remember a pictorial, and was probably one of the first pictorials spreads that Penthouse did on bondage and restraint.
And so Bob Piccioni.
And this would have been back in, like, the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from that, it emerged that, you know, I enjoyed the term that Ann Grogan up in San Francisco used to use was romantic restraint.
Romantic restraint.
Yeah, and she wrote a book, Romantic Restraint, years ago, and I wish I could find it, but I've lost my copy. But I started, you know, playing romantic tie-up games. Well, lo and behold, I got married, and I should have introduced the romantic restraint to the wife-to-be.
You didn't.
I hadn't, you know, because I was still drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So I put that away and forgot completely about it. So flash forward to the early 90s, and I met someone, and at the time I was, you know, just, you know, praying, you know, immensely, and, you know, being the good boy.
You were praying?
Yeah.
Like in church?
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. I was following all the rules and regs.
Right.
And, okay.
Wow.
And trying
and then,
to be good. And,
yeah.
And did you have these fantasies?
Well, I hadn't thought about them until I met somebody who said, you know, I'm really into some of the beauty series. You remember the old Anne Rice beauty series?
Yes.
Well,
as Anne Roquelaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she said, well, I've read all these beauty books, and I was blowing them off. Okay. Didn't, you know, say anything about it.
Mm.
So one night she said, this was on a date, she goes, hey, would you mind tying me up tonight? And I brought the rope.
Oh.
So I said, hey, that's
not
bad. And then the next time we went out a couple weeks later, it was, would you mind spanking me?
Okay.
And so as she was reintroducing me, I then flashed back to what I'd enjoyed 20 years before.
Mm.
And so then I started reading and discovering. And the person that really helped me come back out, I don't know if you know Robin Roberts, who founded the Backdrop Club, then was the place that Jay Weissman actually discovered his kink in Berkeley. When he was a student in Berkeley, he discovered Robin Roberts. And in SM 101, he credits Robin Roberts as the guy who helped him discover his kink.
Uh-huh.
So Backdrop Club had since moved from Berkeley to San Francisco to Mountain View. And so in Mountain View, I started being mentored by Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that was my starting out journey.
And now here you are.
And here we are.
And you like spanking. Do you like spanking?
Yes, both giving and receiving.
Both giving and receiving. And do you like it over the knee or a whip?
Oh, it's... Well,
any which way?
Well, whips are flogging, so that's...
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm
hard spanking?
Well, as long as I'm not getting hurt, yes.
Uh-huh. I mean, receiving. Do you like
hard receiving? Surely.
Yeah? Wow. How about you, Rubber Necro? You like spanking?
I love receiving it. I
don't, you don't
like
give a good spanking?
It. No.
No. You were giving it with me. Actually, I was giving it, and you were licking that girl's boots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was hot.
I'm a total submissive. I just
you
love
were even
being a
you were an aggressive submissive that night. That's what you were. I just realized she was an aggressive submissive, with no master, out just doing people and giving them pleasure. It was just phenomenal.
You know, these submissives are very out there. They're very dominant.
Well, what they are is they have a lot of energy,
right.
And so you know, they can either be all out there just doing their thing sexually and just giving lots of pleasure in all different directions, or they can have somebody kind of shape them, I guess.
And like, I mean, with me, I mean, I'm Latin, so I have a Latin personality, so I guess it can be kind of dominant, but I love being a submissive.
Well, you have a strong personality. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's dominant, but it's strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a you know, and a lot of submissives are like that. The submissive is the one with the strong personality, and the master is just kind of whipping and tying and, you know, kind of like the handyman in a way, just doing the different things. And the submissive is the center of attention. You know, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that as a dominant.
But I think, you know, a good submissive knows what they want, and they know when they're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be dissatisfied, and if they're dissatisfied, they're gone.
Exactly.
Okay, so,
totally,
you know.
Agree.
Well, sure.
Yeah, so, you know, they don't like ineptitude.
Right, well, slavery, you know, where someone actually owns someone and you can't get away if you're unhappy is illegal, I think, right? I mean, you can get away if you're unhappy. You just leave. And submissives probably know more about whether they're unhappy or not than, like, regular people who often stay in bad relationships just because of habit.
Well, I think in BDSM relationships and in scene relationships, the communication is so much more open, direct, and you have to really get across what really needs to happen and has to happen for satisfaction of both partners. And let's face it. Are you going to let somebody tie you up and put you within inches of your life if you don't trust them?
No.
Yeah, so I think the trust relationship is very much there.
Exactly.
Of course,
trust.
That does go on. Mm-hmm. And as a consultant to the Public Defender's Office of Los Angeles Sex Crimes Division, I have to say that I've you know, seen some sad cases in which people just didn't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, and of course, juries who are drinking the Kool-Aid of the prosecutor, they tend to believe that, you know, when death happens accidentally in situations like this, that it was really very deliberate with torture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they need a knowledgeable defense to say, you know, these people were not trying to kill each other.
Right.
They were just, you know, trying to enjoy each other, but things went wrong because they didn't know what they're doing. And it is kind of like, you know, skydiving or motorcycling or anything dangerous. You got to know what you're doing when you get into the serious stuff. You know, a little light spanking, okay, maybe you'll get kind of bruised, but some of this stuff with all the electrical stimulation and heavy-duty bondage and asphyxiation is very popular right now, and it's dangerous stuff. You got to know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But I think there's a difference between the art of a submissive in submission versus a woman who's being subservient and forced.
Well, sure.
Yeah,
that's true. Then she's not really being submissive. And I wonder too, you know, if some of these couples that go to these classes because they have domestic violence in their homes, I mean, because usually the guy is hitting the woman, if they might benefit from learning principles of SMBD.
I went through that with my first husband, who was abusive, and I bought him a copy of SM 101, which was the biggest mistake I ever did. Because he did not comprehend it.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a bad thing for me because I ended up getting hurt.
Oh.
Because he thought that he could be dominant in a physical way that he shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Well, a book is great, but I think a book, you can interpret it in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he just interpreted that as, this is a really good reason that I'm smacking this wife of mine around, because I'm dominant. And it gave him an excuse to be an asshole, That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like workshops where mm-hmm. you
that's
work
better.
Through what you're going mm-hmm. through, and somebody is there to say, no, that's not how we do this. This is consensual. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, I certainly wouldn't think just giving somebody a book would be it. It would have to be a real workshop, a real sort of tutorial, something where you're supervised. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I still think that might be of benefit.
Well, supervised would be, yes.
Well, supervised. Well, of course, these people are supervised anyway. I mean, not supervised at home, but they go to these violence management workshops. I mean, that's a big thing, mm-hmm. you know, for people that get out of control. What if some of it incorporated using S&M, B and D?
That's thought-provoking.
It's thought-provoking,
yeah,
right.
But I think,
you think those people should just keep their hands to themselves?
Yeah. They have a propensity of hurting.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
But I think we all have a kind of an impulse to hurt and be hurt. And that's what this is about. We're all animals. You know, I wore the animal print tonight because I didn't have any rubber. But I was just thinking about our animal nature that that makes us want to hurt and be hurt, and that there is an eroticism to that, and that it would behoove anybody, especially maybe people that are out of control, to learn about that. To acknowledge that and try to deal with it in a consensual, peaceful way. My idea.
Well, as a top, when I was topping and mistress, I always think of it as intense sensation more than hurting someone, because I never wanted to give somebody anything they didn't actually want.
No, but there is a fine line between pain and pleasure. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's true. To be able to give someone what they want sometimes involves pain. You know?
So now we have a bunch of Catholics and one Jew. Or two Jews, because I'm a convert.
You're a convert.
I just want to
ask. We're going to do Passover next
yeah.
week.
Yeah,
we're going to have
that.
This kind of erotic.
Well, that was one of the reasons.
Ask them about their Passovers.
Well, that was one of the reasons we came tonight was we were interested in, you know, seeing your space and, you know, how things go here. And 3 years ago, the leather community put on a Seder at the Gay, Lesbian, Transgendered Jewish Center down on Fairfax. And we attended, and everybody was there in their leathers and their restraints. And I was looking for it. I couldn't find it yet, but I have the script from that Seder.
Oh, I'd love to see
and,
that.
And the double meanings of many of the words and sensations.
Well, after all, I mean, the whole Seder is about being in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Being in bondage in Egypt. The Hebrew slaves are in bondage. Mm. And then they're freed by God. Mm. And God is a top, that's for sure. God is pretty nasty and gives it to the Egyptian taskmasters and frees the slaves, but they become his people, and it's all very bondage and freedom oriented. And I always say freedom is the greatest aphrodisiac, but restraint is a close second. Right. You know, with all the freedom in the world, you tend to dissipate yourself. You know, we're human beings need this push and pull, especially where eroticism is concerned. There's a push and pull of freedom and restraint. So that's cool. Okay. Well, I didn't realize there were other sexy satyrs going on.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have one next Saturday night.
Very calm.
We
just whip each other with...
We whip each other with scallions.
Scallions, yeah.
Yeah. That's actually an old Sephardic ritual during this one song. You whip each other on each side with scallions. Have you ever used vegetables as whipping implements?
No, it does his other things.
Oh, okay. Well, you can use them as dildos. Nature's Own dildo. Carrots, zucchinis, cucumbers, right? You ever use a cucumber?
Carrot.
Yeah.
Carrot.
I'm going to give party favors out now. You get a red pocket rocket. You get a white pocket rocket.
Oh,
you have a pocket rocket already?
That's like from this. Doc Johnson, our friend and co-revolutionary.
And you don't drink, so I won't give you... You don't drink at all? No?
I do.
You do? Okay, here's an Agavero.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. See, your subby gets all the prizes, but that's good. You got to keep the subby happy. Okay,
always.
And you get a little Agavero.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And Agavero is the drink of Mexico, actually, the aphrodisiac, because it combines tequila liqueur and Damiana, and Mexican grandmothers give it to their granddaughters on their wedding night.
Really?
To make them wet. For their husbands, that they might not otherwise be wet for, I guess. Yeah.
Where's my grandmother?
Ask your grandmother about it. Here's one for your grandmother, too. Okay?
Thank you.
Take one for your grandma. You know, grandma needs some of that. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. So, and pocket rockets, of
Quiet
course, are always
over
good.
There. Quiet down.
Pocket rockets.
Oh, I still have the. You gave me one on. The first Arrows Day when I came.
I already
when
gave
I came.
You one. Okay, we
you
always
gave me two, but oh
have,
my God, I love them.
You can have a third, you know, keep it in the glove compartment.
No, but I love them. I love them.
You can always use another pocket rocket, right?
Exactly.
You just have to have one handy. You have to have one in every room of the house, really, just in case.
In the bathroom, in the room, you know.
Yeah.
In your purse.
Yeah, for sure. Slip it in the boot, you know. Have it ready. Glove compartment is a classic. Yeah.
So...
Yes.
Somehow, we're trying to change the world, right? You guys are retired, right?
Retired.
Yeah, but you're not retired from the revolution or the evolution.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, we're constantly evolving.
Constantly evolving, right.
More agua. Mm-hmm.
So...
While they talk about the revolution.
Healthcare. Should we all have healthcare or should we all not?
Well, as long as they don't try to put us out before our time.
Right. Okay.
I say yes.
No rationing.
We can all have a new liver, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not. Yeah.
Only if you deserve it.
I'm a diabetic, so I totally say yes.
You're a diabetic.
You got it.
I'm a diabetic. Yeah. And
really?
Yeah.
How do you get away with drinking all the agua?
Because I take care of myself, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I take care of myself, but the thing is that I do not want to spend close to $300 every month to be getting medication, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's just really expensive. I mean, insulin, it's just for one little bottle of insulin, it's just $60, $60 to $80. And I mean, at this point, the economy is not well, you know, getting a job is not well. So, you know, it's really expensive. Mm-hmm. And
it's good
I mean,
for you to have salt, right?
And,
of course.
And do we know, do we should educate Sarah. You know,
Sarah.
Yeah, from
Alaska. Sarah Palin, right.
We should educate her and know this, that every state can not have it. If they don't want it, they don't have to have it. You don't have to sue anyone. You don't have to do any of that, okay? If
I make her drink this, lick the salt to get the shot.
Showtime.
And she's such a good licker. Oh, my goddess.
And that as a wealthy society and almost broke, we should, as good people, as good Christians and socialists and Jews and
Seventh-day... And ethical hedonists.
And ethical hedonists and Seventh-day hedonists, we should take care of our society... And our children, whether they're black or white or whatever other color, we should, as a society, empower the people that don't have the same resources as we do, the same smarts. We are not equal under any circumstance. Some of us are weaker. Some of us can't function. Some of us are superwomen, and some of us are supermen. But in a society, that is genteel, in a society that takes from the earth, we should always give back. What is it if we have to pay another $30 a month to help a poor black child not die?
Well, we're on the road.
We're on the road. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but it's progress, right?
Yeah. But as the Canadian young man support, whose wife, by the way, is paraplegic, said, welcome. People should be saved. And we should have the heart to do it.
It's very civilized. You know, mostly we're voting to bomb foreign countries. I mean, that seems like what we mostly, you know, put big money towards. So this is a very civilized thing, healthcare.
It's simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. And one of the things here at Radio Suzy One, and one of the things that Dr. Suzy and I advocate, is the evolutionary, revolutionary part of our own lives. We live here as sort of a socialist community. We try to help each other. We often fail, but we try. And that's the step that is within our humanity. From our house to your house, we want to revolutionize you, and we want to touch you where no other radio has ever touched you. It's almost obscene. We want to put your radio between your legs.
Speaking of between your legs, I just realized I don't have a violet wand, but I do have like this vibrator. What do you think of this? It's not really a wand, and it is battery operated. But it's got something electrical going on, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
I mean, it's got something that's a little shocking. Would you like to feel it between your legs?
Of course I would. Would you like to do it?
I would like to see how it feels between your legs. Look at this. Beautiful beauty, great beauty here. Yes. Oh, look at that, that light. It's just lighting up. You know, I like the way you don't wear rubber panties. That's very nice, how you don't wear rubber panties.
Or rubber tires.
Oh, yeah, no, this is beautiful flesh, beautiful rubber necro vulva that's so natural and so real and human. Surrounded by rubber, look at that. It looks so beautiful, surrounded by rubber stockings, rubber dress, and a real beautiful vulva. How does this vibrator feel?
Oh, it feels really good.
It feels really good, doesn't it? This is made by Pyrexions, by the way. Happens to be one of our affiliates. We carry these things.
Well, actually, Pyrexions.
Look at that. It looks like you're being electrocuted up your pussy. It really does. You got to get a look at this. I mean, I don't know if you want. It's wow, it looks like your pussy is on fire. I'm serious. This looks like a flame here. You got this shot here? Look at this. Bring some other video camera. Do you got the video?
We're getting photos.
Yeah, look at that. Because I don't know how. We're getting still photos, I know, but the video. Wow, that is just exquisite. You are exquisite. No wonder you get a lot of your sex from modeling, because you're just so beautiful that you're just, I mean, you start to have any type of sexual interaction and somebody wants to take a picture. That's basically what goes on. Oh, look at this, lighting up your clit. Wow. It's heavenly. Let me try a different setting here. Okay, we've got this setting, and now, whoa, this is the more throbbing, slower motion setting. What do you think of that?
I love it.
Oh, good. I love to hear love. Yeah, and here's another setting. Boom, 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 boom. Whoa. And here's another setting. This one's constant. It just goes. Whoa. And now, what is that one? That one's pretty constant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you're writhing beautifully. And now we have a lower speed, and now it's off. And now here goes this little fast speed. Whoa. Up and down. You know, when a girl doesn't wear panties and looks so hot in latex, something is bound to happen. That's what I say. Beautiful. So beautiful. Ooh. Could you have an orgasm like this?
Oh, I totally could.
You totally could? Even on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let yourself go, girl. Ooh, yeah. It's glass, so it's very hygienic.
Exactly. I can totally feel it.
In we go. Oh, right inside. Now, of course, we can't see the light, but it's lighting up Rubber Necro's insides. And now back onto the clit. Ah, radio like you've never seen before. Radio Suzy One, Rubber Necro is getting lit up, not by a violet wand, but by a Pyrexions vibrator that looks like a violet wand. Whoa. Beautiful. So precious. Yeah, you're just irresistible. You can say stop if you ever want me to, and I will.
Oh, trust me, I won't say stop.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm not big on, you know, any kind of fancy safe words. I recognize stop, and that's it. But you're just giggling and spreading your legs, and just so delicious. Okay, here's another type of setting here. Yeah? So hot. What is that sound supposed to be, Max?
No, just another Latino.
Yeah.
Going down
whoa.
The road.
Yes, hot-blooded. You can get the seat all wet. It's okay. It's just latex. It can always be wiped off.
Why don't you let her control the machine?
Well, I'm enjoying controlling the machine. But, I don't know. I'm just right on that clit. Right on the edge here. How about if I put that on the clit and finger right up in the G spot? Here we go.
She's delicious.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Rubber Necro. Oh, yeah. I'll let you do this to me later. Okay.
I would love to.
Keep going. I want to press right up against. Should I leave it in one spot? Yeah, leave it right there, huh?
We're about to have touchdown, Houston.
Whoa. Wow, was that an orgasm?
Yeah.
Really? Hot. Let's hear it for Sister Rubber Necro. Lick your wand. Beautiful. Amen and A-women. Oh, yeah. Sister Rubber Necro.
From my house to your
live
house.
On Radio
Orgasm.
Mm.
Power.
Yeah.
Power.
Power to the people.
We have a war on the ground. We have an intellectual war on the airwaves. We have the technology that the military gave to us, and we're going to win. And the win is that we all want to have somebody to hug at night when we go to bed.
Uh-huh.
To love, to care. From our house to your house, you're listening to Radio Suzy One.
I'm going to hug you tonight, honey, but
I'm
going to be thinking about Rubber Necro's pussy.
And do a lot of that, huh?
Wow. Hot.
We've got 5 minutes.
We do. Okay, that took a little while. All right, I'm sorry. I don't know. I found this thing, this Pyrexions vibrator, which is a beautiful glass vibrator. And next thing I knew, it was like leading me like a Geiger counter to the oil. It was leading me to Rubber Necro's pussy.
By the way, the guy that makes these is out in the middle of Pennsylvania,
yeah,
in the middle of the woods, and he's fighting China, and he's fighting the large corporations, and he sits there and he makes these things one by one.
Yeah, we should send him some pictures of
right?
this. He will be very, very pleased. Mr. Pyrexions.
It's like a lightsaber. It's like,
I mean, when I have
it
to
is.
Pay, when we pay him for this thing, awesome. We got to send it to his mom. Thank
his
you.
Mom?
Yeah, really.
Right? You communicate
mom's
with his
bank
mom?
Account.
Oh.
No, has to go into mom's bank.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know those little
it's very
details.
Funny.
You know, it's a mom and pop world. Okay. And we're just about to close, yeah. It looks like. So, Rubber Necro, give out your website.
My website is www.rubbernecro.com.
Easy.
Exactly.
Rubber Necro. It's just one word. Just spell it like it sounds.
Exactly.
RubbernEcro.
Exactly.
.com. Okay, Rubber Necro, you are really something, and I don't know. I mean, you're going to be a forensic psychologist. In the meantime, you're a latex goddess and rubber saint.
Thank you for having me.
Saint Rubber Necro. Okay, well, hang around, have some more agua, and I also want to thank Betty and Frank. Thank you very much, and I want to hear more about the Church of Eighth Hedonism.
I was sitting at the bar talking
Eighth Day
to them.
Hedonism.
Extraordinary people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's great. And I want to thank my entire fabulous Radio Suzy 1 crew. I don't know if I can name everybody.
And volunteers.
But all the volunteers. Brother Max, of course, Brother Brandilio, Jux Lee, Mar, Hugo, Brother Nori at the bar. Maybe we'll get him to play some piano later.
Oh, yeah.
And who are you pointing to? Christopher, Brother Christopher. And of course, Lisa, Sister Lisa, our producer, and Sister Hillary on the phones. And am I leaving anybody out? I might be. If I'm leaving you out, come on over and wave your hand. Okay. Haley, Sister Haley, of course, wearing the hat, who's talking so intensely
hot.
That
yeah.
she doesn't even know she that I almost forgot her. But I didn't forget her. Okay. And I didn't forget you, my darling listener and viewer, for having us. Thank you so much. You got an orgasm out of the deal, right? A live on-air orgasm. I had a live on-air orgasm in 1991. Right?
Yeah, we, for the first time on American radio, we said, is it a togasm or is it an orgasm?
Well, I did two things. I had the orgasm, and then I also got a foot massage. And, yeah, and the way Brother Max gives a foot massage, it sounds like an orgasm when I'm like, oh, God. You know,
Maybe we should change that and try to make one right now.
Mm. Yeah.
You could.
Well, we could, except we're just about done with the show.
Well, I mean, not right now.
Afterwards.
Afterwards.
Let's film it.
Well, something.
Let's document it.
Foot massage.
Okay, from...
So thank you for having us in your home, your house, your car, bar, wax. I want you to be good, be happy, be consensual, you know. Try not to hurt anybody unless they really want to be hurt and tell you specifically. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you. I love you.
Hold it.
So much.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot telephone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.